Hello, friends. It's me, your good friend, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my buddy, my business partner, my dude.
It's me, Alice Slater.
What are we going to talk about today, Alice?
We're going to talk about a concept that we have been planning for like 9 months.
Like a baby.
Like a little babby. We've been baking her in the oven of our brains for 9 months. So basically, I've really wanted to do an episode about isolated communities
for
a really long time. I love books about isolated communities. I love books about isolation. I love books set on islands or remote houses where the characters become so kind of wrapped up in the goings-on of their very small world that things can become kind of exaggerated or get out of control very easily. But every time we have started to plan this episode, I've got wind of another book coming out. And so I've said, no, the time isn't right.
Let's wait
till this comes out. And then just as we're approaching at the time to record it, another one appears on the horizon. And so we've kept delaying it. And now I've said no more.
It's a new year. We're into 2019 now. And we've got to get this episode out into the world. So how would you like to begin, mein Freund?
So let's begin with Skin Deep. Because we've already kind of talked about it before.
Yeah, like, I keep talking about this book because I love it. Because it was my favourite book of last year. And, we talked about it in the Books of 2018 episode, which if you have not listened to, you should. And it's an interesting one with this topic because so much of it does not happen. It's not about an isolated community, really. But it's almost like everything in her life can be traced back to her childhood, which was on a remote island off Ireland called Inishcran, which is where she grew up, and was a very kind of poor and difficult, challenging childhood in this remote community.
That's why I think I wanted to cover this book specifically in this episode, because even though the focus on the island, it shifts a lot. The focus shifts a lot. It's not necessarily the action. Most of the action doesn't take place on the island, but I think it's so intrinsic to who this character is.
Yeah.
And I think it's an aspect of the book that you could very easily miss if if you're browsing in a bookshop. It looks like just another thriller.
And it ain't.
It's got a little bit more to it. It's got another string to its bow, I would say.
Yeah.
Which, I know that we've said before, but it's always worth saying again. It definitely operates on different levels. And I don't know. I mean, so I know we know it's well documented that we both loved it. But something that I really liked about it was this very unusual setting. This kind of small, rain-battered, wind-battered island, which is very distrustful of strangers.
The outside.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, a theme in the book is that the future of the island is, there's a big question mark over it, because people are leaving.
Yeah.
And
there are not many children. And
the government, like the mainland, they want the island empty. They don't want to have remote communities out in the middle of the sea. Like,
yeah.
they want everyone to be living in, like, bigger populations. It's easier to take care of people if you're surrounded by others. And I think that's really interesting, because I don't really understand that. It's so far from, like, my area of experience.
Yeah, to live in such a, like, wild, isolated place.
But to have to fight to remain there.
Yeah, and to, like, watch it being wound down like a department in a company
that is
just, like, being starved of oxygen. But also what's interesting about this in Skin Deep is that, like, this community and this island is very, like, fertile ground for all of the kind of folklore and legends that are weaven throughout the book, which I love. Like, normally that's the kind of thing where when there's, like, a chapter, I'm someone who does not like subplots. I'm a very basic consumer of media. I just want to watch the thing that I'm watching or read the thing that I'm reading. But in Skin Deep, kind of alongside the various points in her life, there is also, like, these little short chapters which each contain a kind of legend or folk tale from where she grew up potentially, like, I can't remember if it's explicitly or like things that her father told her when she was little. Yeah, explicitly
things that her father told her.
Stories that her dad told her. From this community. And I loved that. Like, I thought they were so interesting because they were like weird and gnarly, like folktales should be. I thought that worked really well, and I didn't feel like they were a distraction.
So much so that I, until you mentioned it, had forgotten about them. And I just finished reading the new Michelle Pover novel, and I was like, what the fuck does this remind me of? It reminds me of something I've read recently. And yeah, there are obvious comparisons that are like on the back of the book, but yeah, it reminds me of Skin Deep. Like the folklore and this patriarchal like figure that uses folklore as a way to kind of throw in his children.
So that's such a it's such a good element of Skin Deep that, like, for all the times that we've talked about it on this pod, is not something that we've ever really mentioned. There's just so much in the book. Like, there's so many things in the book that, like, you almost can't mention them all.
I think I have to admit at first, because I loved the opening chapter, which is the main character, Delia, as a woman in her, like, 40s, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of the most present day that it gets.
And she's, like, you know, ordering too many cocktails at a party, and she's just, like, a bit of a mess. And I was like, yes, I am here for this. And then we jump back in time to her as a little girl on this island, and I was like, ah.
Must we?
I was like, this is not what I was signed up for. I thought I was going to read, like, a racy, pacey thriller about a woman in her 40s who's an alcoholic. And I, you know, I stuck with it and was very pleasantly surprised. And we do, you know, it does bounce between the different timelines in a way that's very satisfying.
Yes. And it's almost like her upbringing on this island made her poorly equipped for, like, life outside of it in lots of ways. She is not a well-adjusted person. She is not a person who is... I love reading her life story. I love this
book. But you're right, like, she's not a well-adjusted person. And I think a big part of that is her dad.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's a theme in isolated community fiction, is that it's always patriarchal.
Yeah.
Apart from The Beach by Alex Garland, which is matriarchal, they're always patriarchal. There's always a man, a tyrant, like, at the top of the hierarchy. And I'm thinking of Little Eve by Katrina Ward. I'm thinking of The Water Cure by Sophie McIntosh.
Even the next book we're going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. The next book we're going to talk about. And, I mean, that's not a criticism of those books at all, because they're all excellent. It's more just that I think... That is a common theme. And is that just because...
That's how the world works.
That's what the men do, you know?
But yeah, I love this book, as well we know. And I think if you have resisted all of our pleas to read it so far, may this one be the one that convinces you. Because I love it. I love it. And you loved it too.
I did.
It's a banger.
It banged.
So the next book that we wanted to talk about is one that I weirdly held out, like, a long time on.
Same.
Good.
Same, my friend.
And, but, see, that's funny, isn't it? The way that I was like, it was a really long time. It feels like in the kind of online book world, either you read something when it comes out, like, in the 2 weeks following publication, or you've kind of missed the boat. Whereas, like, it literally came out last year.
Yeah. It's, like, came out post-July. I can't remember exactly what month, but anyway. We should say what it is.
Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss.
Why are you saying it like you're saying that to me through a train window?
Because as I started saying it, I was like, what if I say the wrong word? What if I call it Ghost World by Daniel Clowes? Or something, you know, just... Or Ghost Moss by Sarah Wall. Or something, you know, just...
Yeah, I get it. There you was room to, like, for... make sure that it was all lined up.
So yeah, Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss.
Oh, what a banger, man.
That's a tiny banger.
It's a tiny banger. Hold Me Close, a tiny banger. It's a novella, like, less than 100 pages. It's probably, like, 50 pages. I don't know.
No, it's more than that. But it's short. It's short. It's short, but it's so satisfying. It's so interesting. It's such a good story.
We haven't talked about this one on the pod before, so we should nutshell it. It is about a young woman whose father is obsessed with Iron Age reenactment.
Prehistory. He's a prehistorian.
Prehistory.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're doing a reenactment with a university lecturer and some of his students. And as with all books about isolated fiction, isolated communities, her father is abusive and very much the kind of archetypal patriarch looking to control all the women in his life.
Yeah.
And he's ghastly. He's absolutely vile.
Yeah, he is definitely one of the most, like, hate-worthy male characters I have read in a long time. He has, like, almost no redeeming characteristics. He's just, like, the classic abusive man. While still being very believable. It's not like... I think he's a caricature. It's just that these men very much exist, and I know exactly what they're like. But what I think is really interesting about Ghost War is that when the book begins, I think I love the way that, like, here the father's out of placeness kind of becomes more and more apparent as the book goes on, because I don't know, maybe it's just like the world that I'm from, but when you start reading it, you assume that he must be like one of the university lecturers or something, and then you kind of realize that, like, they're just there because he is interested in prehistory. Like, he has nothing to do with the university. Like, he's kind of inserted himself into this, like, experiment. I don't know, I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, imagine reading this book if you knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Like, because that's the thing, at first, I didn't really know much about it. And I don't know, when I hear, like, reenactment, my brain shuts down. I'm sure I knew that, but I don't know. That's an aspect that I don't think I would have been particularly interested in. But you're right, like, slowly trying to work out how everyone fits in. And, like, the fact that she's not a student, she's too young.
Yeah.
The attitude, the difference in attitude between the professor, who's obviously quite excited to be there and does look to the father for knowledge and, you know, his expertise, and gradually how that kind of power shifts a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the power dynamics in this are really, like, interesting. And obviously this is kind of bookended. This story about Sylvie and her family, her parents, taking part in this kind of, they call it, like, well, experiential archaeology. That's what they call it. That story is bookended by a story of an Iron Age girl being sacrificed. That's what the book opens with, which is obviously quite an arresting beginning. But in terms of books about isolated communities, this one is really interesting because it's, like, completely elective. Like, they chose to be there. Like, this is a isolated community that they have invented. Like, they've chosen to participate in it, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of made me think of The Beach, which I've already mentioned in this episode, but I love it. It made me think of that. It also makes me think of, like, Lord of the Flies as well. Like, even though it's elective, they still get kind of very carried away with the kind of power structure that they have created. And, like, when the students, when they kind of rebel in their own quiet way by doing nothing particularly wild, they go to a fucking co-op and buy some crisps.
Yeah.
But for Sylvie, the narrator, or the protagonist, I should say, like, that she is absolutely fucking terrified, because for her, it's not elective.
Yeah.
You know, she has absolutely no choice.
Because even though, like, they're doing this as a kind of fun, cool experiment, like, to her dad, this is, like, serious as a job. And that's the kind of world that she has to live in. She's not just, like, isolated by the geography of this fake Iron Age encampment. It's, like, being isolated from a normal way of growing up by her dad, who is terrifying and awful.
And, like, that's, by participating in this experiment, it's something that I think her dad hadn't considered, that he would be exposing her to people who don't exist in the same world that they do. And the way that her eyes are kind of open to, well, not quite, because she still resists acknowledging that there is a problem within their family.
Yeah.
Like, she's in deep denial, and she's obviously very frightened of, you know, being taken away from her father. She still loves him. It has that kind of, like, classic abuse thing going on, of her not wanting to do anything that will expose it. But obviously the students in particular, the woman whose name I've forgotten.
Yeah, I know you know.
Yeah. Like, she notices that things aren't right, and she doesn't have the kind of maturity to approach it subtly. So she just comes right out with quite direct, quite shocking questions.
Yeah.
But it's enough to plant some seeds in Sylvie's kind of thought process about how normal her life is.
Yeah, which maybe otherwise, like, without entering this, like, faux isolated community, she wouldn't have had.
And in the same way, like, the men kind of join in with alacrity, by default, the women are kind of left out of...
a lot of the rituals, yeah. And, yeah.
So they're not carried away by it in the same way that the men are.
Yeah, because the women have to do all the, like, they're boring...
peeling the fucking potatoes, yeah. And shit, yeah.
Making all this weird Iron Age food.
But then, yeah, so they're not fully... they're not, like, submerged in these ideas in the same way that the men are.
It's true. Tell me about The Beach, because I haven't read it.
So The Beach is written by Alex Garland. It was his debut. I will say that there are definitely aspects of the book that are really bad. Like, particularly, there's a scene when you read it, you'll know exactly which bit I'm talking about, that they could have just cut out. It does not need to be there. And it's, you know, it's pretty, like, white bro trying to be provocative by using the N-word.
Okay.
Like, it's bad. So I just, like, want to say that. Like, there, it doesn't... it's not a perfect book. But it's about a guy travelling around Thailand. He's always looking for, like, his next kind of adventure. And he ends up sleeping in a room next door to a man who is, like... raving drunk and talking about this beach. The man leaves him a map and he decides to go and try and find it. And he does. It's kind of like this hidden beach set up by a bunch of Westerners as like this kind of isolated commune of like free living.
Yeah.
And obviously it just all goes completely tits up and it's brilliant.
Okay, cool. I think I might take that on holiday with me. The holiday I will be on while this book, while this episode goes live.
Oh, yeah, you'll be dipping your toes in the... what ocean is it?
Indian, I think.
Dipping your toes in the Indian Ocean, reading The Beach.
Yeah.
But I think, well, something that I really like about it is that the main character, Richard, is incredibly well realised. And as he kind of walks down this, like... she just picked it off her bookshelf.
Gotta put it on my pile.
Yeah, like, as he kind of... the deeper he gets, the harder it is to get out, basically. And not everyone around him is as convinced that this commune needs to be protected at all costs. And I think it's a really interesting dynamic for a main character. Like, he isn't a good guy, and he does bad things.
Cool. That's good. That's what I like in a main character.
And also, it is, like, literally the only book I can think of about isolated communities which has a matriarch and not a patriarch.
Cool.
It's the only one. If anyone can think of anything, because like, they must exist, but I can't think of them.
Well, we had a little soiree in December before Christmas, a little drink with the excellent author Leila Slimani, and we were talking to a lady from Faber who was telling us about a kind of a potentially matriarchal cultish book which is coming out this year, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously it's Jesus who's at the top of the pyramid, but it's a cult like run by women, right?
But this was non-fiction.
Oh yeah, this was non-fiction. Yeah,
this is a real thing.
Interesting.
But that's the thing, like, I mean, even when I think about, like, so even if you think about, rather than physically isolated, if you're also just thinking about cults, I mean, cults are fucking always patriarchs, aren't they? It's always men at the top, just
L. Ron Hubbarding their way.
Exactly. Like, I'm thinking about The Girls was another book by Emma Klein that I'd considered for, you know, an isolated communities episode. And obviously, even though the thrust of the book is this female friendship, they've still got that fucking Charles Manson at the top of the ladder calling the shots.
Tell me about Little Eve.
So Little Eve was in my top 10 last year. And it opens with a terrible grisly murder that seems very ritualistic on a little island off the coast of Scotland. And the book basically then, we kind of go tiptoe back to find out what happened to lead up to this horrific slaughter, of which there is only one survivor. So it's about these twin sisters, one of which dies, the other survives. They have their father kind of runs this cult, which is very kind of folklorish, and he has a lot to say about snakes. It's a really, really good book. It's really creepy, incredibly chilling. It definitely has echoes of The Water Cure, and The Water Cure has echoes of Little Eve. Like, they came out at the same time, so I think they even came out in the same month. So there's no way either author had read the other book. Yeah. It's just one of those, like, pure coincidences. But I really liked it.
And Little Eve is kind of set in the past, right?
Yes, it is. It's I think it's like 1912.
Either way.
Yeah.
It's not right now.
No.
Which the water cure kind of is.
It's back in the day, but not like back in the day.
Whereas, yeah, the water cure is more... I mean, is it ever explicit about when it's set?
I don't think so.
So it could be now. It's not, like, specifically historical.
Yeah.
And the water cure, for anybody that hasn't read it, is by the great Sophie McIntosh. It came out last year. It's about three sisters living on an island, which is kind of governed by their father. And it's kind of about what happens when that is interrupted by visitors. Yeah, I guess it's also about, like, why they're there in the first place and this concept of, like, trying to heal the ills of patriarchy, but also, like, it's a patriarchal society in itself. And it's just, it's a real, I think it's a really interesting book. I think it's got a lot of really cool ideas in it. I love the way she writes.
Yeah, it's beautifully written.
It's great.
Really beautifully written.
I really can't wait to see what Sophie writes next. It'll be good.
Would you describe yourself as someone who likes books about isolated communities?
I'd never thought of it, but I do enjoy, if it's done well, I am pretty down for that.
I have read a couple that are not done so well.
Would you care to discuss them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why not? I'm going to throw... So I'll throw out a couple of books I didn't particularly like, but I do think fit this theme. So there's one called Gather the Daughters.
I remember this.
So it fits the theme perfectly. It's about an isolated community. They live on an island. You know there's been a terrible thing that means the world beyond the island isn't safe to visit, which is the same in The Water Cure, no?
In theory, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the same with this book.
In theory, it is not safe, yeah.
Yeah. And so the kind of the thrust of the book is questioning whether or not the community is safer than the world beyond it. But, you know, it leans very heavily on incest, and the plot I just found to be a little bit too grim and shocking for the sake of being grim and shocking. Which was a shame, because I think the writer, whose name I can't remember, but it was very well written, but for me, it wasn't my bag.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, another one that I think would also fit this theme in theory, but in a very different way, would be something like The Roanoke Girls. Basically, these two girls who are very isolated, and they're cousins, they become very close, and then one of them goes missing. And it's basically the same plot as Gillian Flynn's Sharp Objects. Very similar.
A book that no one has read, and so you wouldn't notice. But, like, of course, like, that was a big book, and people have read it, and people who are going to read this book have probably read it.
But it even has, like, in Sharp Objects, the main character self-harms, and she writes words on her body. In The Roanoke Girls, she carves words into the word walls. You know, she graffitis everywhere. But it's the same concept.
Yeah.
The book is the same. And then one other one I thought that kind of fits the theme, but also is very different, would be something like My Absolute Darling.
That's a kind of, yeah, self-imposed isolation.
But I think it's just, when I think about isolation, I think very much about, it's when people, it's not just their kind of physicality that defines it, it's also their mindset, that they end up kind of falling aligned mentally to a degree that they lose track of what's reasonable.
Yeah, and yeah. That is sometimes just as dangerous as being, like, physically isolated, especially if you have grown up under the influence of someone like that. Like, you don't know what's possible in the real world.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like... I remember you told me about the Gather the Daughters. It was pre the pod. Like, it was in that summer, just before we started the pod. And I just remember being like, nah, you're all right.
Because I wanted you to read it, because I wanted to do this episode. And then in the end, concluded, what's the point in us just talking for 15 minutes about a book neither of us liked? Because I knew you wouldn't like it either.
Yeah.
I just find it quite crass. It was just quite crass.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're gonna do incest in a book, like, be fucking careful.
Yeah, and that's the same with The Roanoke Girls, also has an incest plotline. So does My Absolute Darling. And I just think, like, just maybe consider don't.
Yeah, maybe don't.
Just don't. Maybe don't do that. My Absolute Darling would not have suffered if it didn't have that aspect to it.
Yeah, it's true. People would have talked about it less, so maybe it would have suffered in terms of, like, coverage and chat, but for the greater good.
But, you know, even then, I'm not sure about that, because the aspects of the book that stayed with me the most were not the incest shit, which I really didn't like. I wasn't expecting it, because you never do in these books. It's always a twist,
yeah.
Which I think is really fucking dodgy. Like, it's a good reason to have content notes on yeah. books, because I'd rather not read that. I find it really upsetting. But I think, you know, that the tension in My Absolute Darling does not actually come from that aspect of their relationship. Like, it's the other shit. It's the violence.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like maybe the hype around it, or, like, the buzz,
yeah.
a lot of that was generated by, like, the fact it was, like, so taboo. Yeah, like, Ghost Wall. Like, I think you wouldn't necessarily... It's not, like, an isolated community in the way that the Water Cure is, for example. But, yeah, it is. I think, yeah, it's a really interesting way of thinking about it. And I'm glad we have, like, had an opportunity to talk about it.
I just thought of another book that I've read recently, which is about an isolated community as well. It's The Lingering.
Tell me about that. Is that S.J. Halliday or something like yes. that? Yeah.
So The Lingering is set in an abandoned asylum... Sorry, I'm fidgeting. It's not an abandoned, it's set in an ex-asylum that has been bought by a man, and he set up a kind of, a commune rather than a cult. He set up a commune, and the book is about a couple who buy their way into it. So, like, a very limited space, there's a long waiting list, people very rarely leave, it's a big deal to join. And this couple basically managed to pay their way in. And I think, like, the setting was wicked, and I really enjoyed some aspects of it. The, like, community is quite weird, whilst being very believable. Like, you wouldn't run a mile if you, like, were invited for dinner. Like, yeah. It's not creepy, but it's also just, like, very kind of out of joint with the way that people normally behave, you know? It has a pinch of Sarah Pinborough behind her eyes. Which, if you've read that book, you'll know exactly what I mean. If you haven't read it, it would be a spoiler to explain. But it just has, like, an aspect to it, which is kind of, it's a bit of a curveball.
Well, I hate it already.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it very much. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It's fun enough.
Okay, as long as it's fun, that's fine. As long as you had fun, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm interested in this thing that we were talking about, like, matriarchal community. Like, matriarchal isolated community. So, yes, please do write in. You know where to find us.
All the usual spots.
All the usual haunts. What are you reading at the moment, bro?
So, I actually just finished the new Michelle Paver.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
Me too. It's so different from her other books. Different. So, when's it out? It's out in the spring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out in April.
It's called Wakenhurst by Michelle Paver, who wrote Dark Matter and Thin Air, which are two absolute bangers.
So they're absolute bangers. I was saying this morning to my husband that I don't think she could have written another book set in, like, that kind of icy, isolated kind of setting. So Thin Air is mountains, Dark Matter is...
the ice.
Ice. This is set in the Fens, which I loved. I love the use of folklore. Yeah, it definitely has a very different pace to it. That's how I would describe it.
It's got a lot more going on than yeah. most of her books. Most of her books are extremely focused on one particular time and a very short space of time in which weird stuff happens. Whereas this is, it feels a lot more, like, expansive and covers different kind of material and different places. And
it made me think of Sarah Perry. And it also made me think of Skin Deep.
Yeah, in different ways, yeah.
In very different ways, but yeah. It makes me think of both of those books.
So you're not reading anything, because you just finished something?
I literally finished that this morning, and then I've got in my bag the short story collection by Jamie Quattro.
Yes!
Who wrote Fire Sermon, one of our favs from last year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my next read, but I had to walk here rather than catch the bus, so I wasn't able to start it.
And that's called I Want to Show You More. I haven't read that, but I think it's going to be banging.
What are you reading?
I just started in the bath, I started reading The Moth Diaries by Rachel Klein, which was lent to me by one Alice Slater.
This is literally one of my all-time favourite books.
Yeah.
It is like a top 10 for me.
So I was talking to Alice about, like, writing and what I'm up to. And I said, like, oh, there's this kind of idea that I'd quite like to write. And Alice was like, oh, yeah, you should read The Moth Diaries. And, like, now I'm like, oh, this is actually very similar. So
maybe is it?
Yeah, kind of.
No, you know, I feel like you should not be afraid to write something that is similar.
Okay.
Because I fucking love The Moth Diaries, and there isn't anything like it. But, so it's set in a boarding school. I'm sure eventually we will do an episode that features it, but in a nutshell, set in a boarding school. It's a woman who, as an adult, has been recommended by her therapist to read her diaries from her school days, when she was very fixated on a class member who she thought was a vampire. It absolutely bangs so hard, bangs like a drum. But there's nothing like it, and I would read anything that was compared to The Moth Diaries. I would give it a go.
Fine, maybe I won't be discouraged.
And it's the same with, like, with, you know, when we do these themed episodes, like, imagine if, like, I don't know, if someone was writing, if Sarah Moss fucking read My Absolute Darling and was like, shit, someone's already written a book about a abusive patriarchal father, like, then we
what's the point? Yeah, it's true, it's true. Yeah, and, like, just because, like, with my book that I have already written, like, which is out in June, yeah, like, imagine if you just were like, oh, there's already a book about a fat teenage girl, it's Dumplin', what's the point in writing another? Like, that's literally not how it works. That's literally not how writing works or how books work.
And I do think, so I also think, like, if you're, like, some people might choose to not read anything that's similar.
Yeah.
So that they're not inspired. Personally, I'd rather know. I want to know. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I'd much rather know what the book that I'm most likely to be compared to. I'd rather know what's in it. Because if it's something I was thinking of doing, I know either to do it totally differently, or maybe I won't, maybe I'll decide that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, 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 you're right.
But I'd rather be in that position than not write anything at all.
Yeah. I think you're right, my friend.
Thanks.
So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I've only read like the first 20 pages of The Moth Diaries. But yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment. And I think it's going to be a fun little ride. You've never steered me wrong so far.
I haven't, have I?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't dare.
God, I'm so good at my little job.
Yeah.
Finding you books to read.
Specifically for me. But this must be like a nice way of continuing your book selling life.
It definitely is.
Do you think you'd die without the pod?
I would die without the pod.
Who would you recommend books to?
My husband, and he wouldn't read them.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he read Normal People, and we never, ever read the same books. We have nothing in common. I don't know why I married him. But he finally read Normal People, and his, like, review of it was just, I need to read more books that you recommend. I was like, yeah, you fucking do. I'm not, like, just out here like an unattended fire hose just yelling about books. Like, I know what he likes. I know what you like.
It's true.
I will guide you.
And, like, he can't live by sci-fi alone.
Exactly.
He'll become malnourished.
Well, he reads a lot of non-fiction. To be honest, rather than sci-fi, he mostly reads non-fiction and, like, history shit that doesn't interest me. But...
because we hate history.
I hate all history.
But do you ever read any non-fiction?
Yeah, I read some true crime.
Do you ever read any non-fiction that isn't about crimes?
Yeah, I do. If something particularly interests me, like... if a book takes off and I'm, like, intrigued by it, then I will. Like, I read The Outrun.
Oh, yeah, by Amy Leptrot.
Yeah, and I read a lot. I do like food writing, so I've read Eat Up by Ruby Tando,
yep,
which I thought was great. I like Nigel Slater.
No relation.
No relation. I wish. I bloody wish. but then I just find that with nonfiction, you can dip in and out of it more, so I'm less likely to actually finish.
Yeah, true.
Something that's non-fic, unless it has, like, a really clear arc, like Amy Leptrot. I read Bleaker House.
Yeah, I really like that. Bleaker House that. By Nell Stevens, not to be confused with Bleak House by Charles Dickens, just in case.
No one cares about.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, just in case somebody misheard us and thought we were talking about Bleak House and was like, why is that non-fiction? What is wrong with these idiots?
yeah, I don't read much. But, you know, I look to like, if looking, liking move.
What?
It's a line from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
I just look to like. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I just look to like.
Okay, cool. Because I don't know anything about Romeo and Juliet, so that was wasted on me. Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us again for this episode about isolated communities. You can find us on the internet and all our usual haunts. We are on Twitter at WhatPagePod. We are on Instagram as WhatPagePod. You can email us whatpagepod@gmail.com. You know, we don't read out adverts for Squarespace or slippers or whatever, mattresses. All we would ask of you is to give us a glowing review on the podcast listening platform of choice, or tell someone about this podcast. That would make us very happy. Join us again next time. Goodbye. Bye.